Remember, Jesus has gathered his disciples aside, and he gives to them the Beatitudes. As you look in chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7, in the Sermon on the Mount, and he walks them through about every aspect of life that you would face. And so when you come to chapter 7, you remember last week we dealt with the very first part of chapter 7 when it comes to criticism, because we're going to look at the second part, Jesus' words regarding criticism. Did somebody say something negative to you this week already, or maybe you have said something about somebody negative? Well, whenever you get to the Sermon on the Mount, whenever you look in chapter 7, Jesus makes it very clear that criticism is a part of our everyday life. There is absolutely no way that you can live your life apart from that being a reality. But when Jesus speaks to his disciples, when he speaks to his own, he gives them his clear, undivided word about how they are to respond and how they are to dispense themselves when it comes to this one reality of life. Now, you and I have to make moral decisions. We have to make moral choices, and that's not what we're talking about in the last three verses. But the truth about it is God has created every single one of us, and we're human beings, and the fabric of God's hand is upon our life. And in verses 1 through 3, whenever you look at it, you remember that we looked at the command. In other words, Jesus gives a command in the very first verse, "Judge not, and you'll be not judged." Now, sometimes somebody says, "Well, you can't help but judge." Can I tell you this? Would Jesus have said it if he didn't give you the power to do it? And so, he is commanding his disciples. And let's look through verses 1 through 6. "Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and rend you." There is no way that you can get around the clear, undivided teaching of what Jesus is giving to his disciples whenever it comes to criticism. And you remember, as you looked in verse 1, the last week we looked at the command of sovereign God to you and to me that we not judge or that we not criticize. Now, I look around this congregation and I look at you and I look at you and I look at you and I look at you, and you don't look like I do. And you may not have, there may be something about your disposition. You know, we all come from culturally different backgrounds, but every one of us that are saved by the grace of God have Christ living on the inside of us. And Jesus is giving to his disciples kingdom guidelines. Now, you know, when you raised your children, if you have children, you gave them guidelines for being in your family. You may say something like this, and I may say something to Stephanie when she was little. You know, now, you're a bush, and we don't act that way. Well, the Father reminds you and me that we're in the family of God. You belong to the family of God. You are an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ in this wicked and ungodly world. So what that means is this: you and I are to guard our life, our conduct, our conversation, every single thing we do. Why? Because we're drawing a watching world to Jesus Christ, or we're pushing them away. So Jesus gives to his disciples this directive, this command, The first is that they're not to be judgmental. They're not to be critical. And you remember I shared last week that there was a caution that criticizing will always backlash on the person who does it. It is amazing that some people think that their criticism is not going to have much effect on them. And sometimes adults who criticize young children think that that criticism is not going to have a backlash. Well, it does. I remember a story one time of a young man. He had a paper out when he was a boy. He grew up, became a doctor, into his doctor's office came a lady, and can't remember what her name was, but anyway, after he got through with this precious lady, he asked the secretary, said, "Is that Mrs. So-and-so?" And she said, "Well, yes, it is. Does she live on this street, this residence, this house address?" And she said, "Well, yes, she does." Said, "Well, would you please tack on $50 to her bill? Because when I deliver her papers, she stiffed me." You know, whatever you do is going to come back because the sovereign God has said it would. And you see, the Bible makes it very clear. There is a God in heaven who created you and me. He has embedded into your conscience the awareness of him. You know there's a God by conscience. You know there's a God by creation. And so, you know, Jesus is telling his disciples to be very careful because criticism always rebounds upon your life. And you remember I shared last week, criticism, the criticizer, the bottom line is, fails to examine himself. There is no way that you can be critical of somebody else when you stop to examine yourself. Think about how you used to be when you was younger. Think about things you used to do. I can very well remember growing up, and I probably grew up on one of the hardest areas in Middlesbrough, and somebody was talking to me about it a little bit earlier. But it was a hard area. It was a tough area. Shoot, you know, people would get in fights just for pastime and steal and all those things. I mean, that was just a way of life. One of my good friends shot and killed his brother. And I don't know what happened, but they got into it. That was the way of life for so many people, and so many people ended up in prison and all sorts of things. But Jesus makes it very clear. You're a child of God. You've been born into the family of God. You've been saved by the grace of God, and there is something different about you. And that difference ought to penetrate and permeate every single relationship in your life. So tonight we're going to look at three other things and looking at the last three verses, 4, 5, and 6. And Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he's reminding them about criticism. And when you look in verse 4, basically in essence, he's making it very clear, criticism literally reveals self-deception. You know, one of the realities about being critical or criticizing someone else is this. You know, it's deception. When I can criticize you, then, you know, I have a value of myself and I have esteemed myself. And that is absolutely inconsistent. Every one of us were created by God. Every one of us were made by the Lord God. And so, you know, a genuine believer who has an honest assessment of himself guards himself, guards his life, guards his spirit. And we don't have any righteousness in and of ourselves. All of the righteousness that you have, if you're a Christian, has been put inside of you by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, you know, a person who lives being critical, and you probably know some right down your street, you know somebody that lives, literally, they feel like they have the right to judge. They feel like they have the right to belittle. They feel like they have the right to demean. But here's what happens. When we judge somebody else, here's what we're doing. We're ignoring and denying our sinfulness. Do you realize that except by the grace of God, you're a sinner? I am a sinner. Apart from the grace of God, you and I are sinners, and we're saved by the grace of God. Now, we're not saved sinners. Scripture never calls you a saved sinner. Bible calls you and me saints. But the reality of it is every one of us sin and fall short of the glory of God. And second, you know, we reveal the powerful sin that abounds in our heart. Here's, listen, when somebody is willing to judge somebody else, and, you know, let's say Mike is talking to Kim, and Mike says, you know, isn't it so bad that so-and-so's not like us, you know, and they're not as good as us? Well, I know that would never happen, but it reveals that we're ignoring the reality of our own wretchedness. And also it reveals merely ourselves that we declare we're worthy or we're right to judge somebody else. Let me ask you a question. Anybody in here that's never sinned? Walk back with me 2,000 years. Jesus Christ is speaking to the woman that's caught in adultery. The Bible says that the Pharisees had brought the woman caught in adultery, and the Bible says that she was caught, listen to what the Bible says, in the very act. Now, folks, anybody knows what that means. And they threw her down at Jesus' feet. What is Jesus going to do? According to the law, he would have to condemn her and she should be executed. That's what the law says. By the way, you go back to the Old Testament, anybody that was guilty of adultery was to be executed. Can you imagine what would happen in our world if that took place? You know, there wouldn't be a whole lot of people on the face of the earth. I mean, there'd be a lot of executions going on because morality has dropped radically. But listen to what Jesus said. Here is the woman caught in adultery in the very act, and Jesus says to her, "Where are your accusers?" In other words, he tells those who are there, said, "Whoever of you is without sin, let him cast the first stone." And the Bible says they all dropped their stones and walked away. And Jesus says to her, now remember, she's been caught in adultery. She's been caught in the very act. Nobody but one person in the universe has the right to condemn her, and that person who has the right to condemn her is standing in front of her. Amen? And Jesus says to the woman, "Neither do I," say the next two words with me, "condemn you." And he said, "Go and sin no more." He didn't tell her to go back to her life of sin and adultery. Jesus is giving you and me a picture. We all know family and friends and loved ones who, they botched it. But ours is not to bring up all their mistakes. Ours isn't to tell them what they've been. Ours is to love them, to care for them, to pray for them. And when they have questions about this God who loves them and cares for them and wants only the best, because some people have a hard time believing God wants to be good to them. Some people have been been pre-programmed to think all God wants to do is jump on them and land on them and annihilate them. They have a hard time believing that there is a God in heaven who loves them and has only the best in mind for them. And so, you know, and so criticism, you know, it literally reveals deception. It reveals that a person thinks he's better than someone else and has the right to judge. And also it reveals a heart that is alienated from the Lord. You know, when I have a right assessment of myself and realize who I really am, Billy Graham said this one time, and I was very humbled when he said, "I'm not as good as some people think I am." And he said, "I'm not as bad as some people think I am." We're all human beings, and we all have feet made of clay. And so the call of God to his disciples, you know, we're not to be critical because criticism. And how many times have you seen somebody won to Christ who was criticized? You know, one of the problems in Christianity, we want to criticize people, and then we want them to come to Jesus Christ. We want to level them, and then we say, "I don't understand what's wrong with my neighbor. I don't understand what's wrong with this person, that person." And they don't want it because they want to see somebody, "Do you really love me for who I am? Do you absolutely love me with all my warts and everything that's about my life? Do you really love me? I don't have a whole lot to give. Do you love me just the way I am?" And so, you know, question that you and I need to ask is, you know, does it reveal deception in your life, in my life? You know, the Bible makes it very clear when you look in Scripture, Numbers chapter 32. God says, you know, when it comes to our criticism, he said, "Be sure your sin will find you out." If a person lives a life of criticism, It's going to come back and it's going to find them out. It's going to absolutely work. And a lot of times it happens in our older years of life. Listen to me real carefully, and I say this in loving kindness, but you watch a lot of times older people, they're talking about younger people, belittling younger people, talking about them, but, and then someday they've got to go to the nursing home. Nobody wants to go see them. Nobody wants to go talk to them. Nobody wants to visit them because, law, yeah, I remember how they used to belittle me, degrade me, put me down. And so, fifthly, criticism reveals hypocrisy. Now, one of the things that you and I need to understand is this. Before you and I have the right to criticize anyone, we have to extract all of the sin from our life because there's only one person that has the right to criticize, and that's the very holiness of God. But the Bible says we are all sinners. You see, sometimes we believe that the righteousness that Jesus put in us is our righteousness. I want you to listen to me real carefully. I don't want you to wake up in the middle. You have never been righteous. You are not righteous. You will never be righteous. Now, chances are you're thinking, now wait just a minute. But listen to me very carefully. I'm not finished. The righteousness you have has been input within you. It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's why you and I live differently. We walk differently, behave differently, not because we're better than anybody else, but because Jesus Christ's righteousness has been put inside of our lives. When you prayed the sinner's prayer, Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. There's a world of change in your life. You realize for the first time that life had meaning and had purpose. There was excitement. There was joy. There was fun, and it wasn't just this stuff that passes. You know, even in the Old Testament, the Bible says there's pleasure in sin, but it's only for a short time. But for the believer, there is something so much more different, so much more satisfying. And yet, when we criticize, it reveals hypocrisy. You know, Jesus, you remember what I just said? Jesus himself declared to those who were ready to accuse the woman who was caught in the very act of adultery. He said, let you that are without sin, you have the legitimate right to criticize. You have the legitimate right to execute. Now, every one of us were young at one time. Some of us are younger. Some of us are a little bit older. And some of us, were a little more mature adults. Do you remember what other people said about you as you was growing up? What other people, how they talked. Now, you said, well, I may have been a pretty good person, but still, yes, you never did like to hear an adult talk about you. And there's always going to be those. Listen, Jesus made it clear to his disciples, there ought to be the fragrance of kindness that flows from your mouth, not just on Sunday morning and on Wednesday and on special occasions. Let the law of kindness flow from your mouth when you're as you're in every dealing. And so, you remember Scripture said there was no one that was present to stone the woman. And the truth is, we're all going to be prone to sin. Now, don't raise your hand, but has anybody sinned this week? Don't raise your hand. Don't you dare raise your hand. You wouldn't say, have any of you said a word you shouldn't have said? Don't answer that. Here's the reality. What I'm trying to say is this. We still have to live in this human body. We still live in this flesh. And, and the Bible makes it very clear. When we criticize another person, we show ourselves to be full of strife. And we feel there's an emptiness about us. Matter of fact, Paul makes it very clear in Philippians 2:3, we're to esteem others better than ourselves. What would happen to kids in this world if they saw adults acting in a loving way to them and not criticizing them? What do you think kids would do? What do you think young people would do when they find an adult that says, I'm here for you, man. I'm here for you. I'm here to love you. Isn't that what we're to be about? Yes. And, Scripture makes it very clear. And second, you know, we reveal a spirit that's inconsistent with our Lord. Jesus said, let this mind be in you. In Philippians chapter 2, what type of mind? Now, let me ask you a question. Before you came to faith in Jesus Christ, would he have been right if he had just sent you and me straight to hell? Would you be deserving of it? Would I be deserving? Yes. But in the kindness of God, he didn't want to give us what we deserve. He loves to give us what we don't deserve. You see, that's what grace is all about. Giving to others what they don't deserve in love and kindness and mercy. And sometimes, ladies, that's giving kindness to your husband when you say, I really need to wring his neck. You know, I mean, he did this, and you just need to understand, Pastor, today's the day his neck needs to get wrung. I mean, it happens occasionally, and I'm sorry he's got to go, but he's got to go, and it's got to be today. But it's when, listen, that's what grace is all about. When you, I know you deserve something else, but I'm not going to give that to you. Why? Because I want to live in honor to my King. Because you see, he is watching. It's amazing how many people think he's not watching. But you know what? When you treat somebody else with the law of kindness, when the law of kindness is on your heart and your mind and your spirit, it is amazing what happens. I never will forget my precious father-in-law. He's with the Lord now in heaven. And I never will forget one time he wanted me to help paint his truck. And I helped paint the truck, but I couldn't help but get a little bit of paint on his old truck and tried to get it off, but couldn't get all of it off because I was trying to get the paint done. But what I noticed is what he didn't say. You know what I mean? Well, let me give you another example. It was in about the fourth or fifth grade I was driving. Well, no, I really wasn't driving because you don't drive when you're in the fourth or fifth grade. But I really was driving, and my mother could drive. She was learning to drive. I thought, if Mom can drive, surely I can drive. I can drive better than she can. And there was two trees between our house and the church and parking lot there, and she was using the parking lot to drive. And so I got behind the wheel, and I was going to drive too, and I was trying to go between those two trees, and I missed the trees, but it hit the church house. And Bumper just got it real good. I can remember seeing my dad come out of the house, and I knew. I was hoping I'd make it to the fifth grade, but I don't think I was going to make it. Dad came out. As I stand here and share this, here's what he did. He looked at the bumper, looked at the church, looked at the bumper, and then looked at me and walked inside. You know what I didn't get? I didn't get executed for one thing, and I didn't get the riot act. Do you follow me? He gave me something that I didn't deserve. I deserved for him to say, come in here and let's take a little walk. But he gave me something, and in life, one of the things that people are drawn to your life, when you give them something they don't deserve based on love and kindness and benevolence, because everybody is expecting somebody to jump on them. Everybody is expecting somebody to land on them, to jump on them, to say something to them about anything and everything. But there's something about that godly husband who responds to his wife in kindness, that wife who does that to her husband, those parents who, those kids will absolutely set the world on fire because of a godly mom and dad who believes in them and absolutely has the law of Christ in their heart. Listen, that's exactly what Jesus, why did these disciples, only 12 of them, 11 of them, folks, they set the world on fire because they were unusually different. And they were unusually different in their kindness and their benevolence and their nature. Because that's the law of the kingdom. And you see, Not only that, but we reveal a spirit of that we're polluted with bitterness and wrath and clamor and malice when we are willing to criticize. Now, no one can see into your spirit, but then again, yes, they can. You see, if somebody says, you know, I just want to stand and say I love the Lord. Now listen to me real carefully. Listen to me real carefully. I just want to stand and say I love the Lord with all my heart. And then in the next breath, they will land on their children or land on their spouse. Something's not consistent. Something's not right. Because the reality of it is, who I really am is down deep. The Bible says a good tree can't produce two types of fruit. A good tree cannot produce bitter fruit and sweet fruit. I mean, it just can't happen. And the reality of it is our life demonstrates it. And so, you know, when there's that clamor, that evil speaking, well, you know, the Lord tells us what to do with bitter. He said, deal with it, put it away. And, you know, in Ephesians 4, the Lord tells you and commands you and me, be kind. Now, let me ask you a question. Sometimes we say, well, you just can't be kind all the time. Let me ask you this. If Jesus commanded it, then he knows you can be kind, right? Or Jesus told you to do something that is impossible and he's forgot. No. He never forgets. But see, here's what we do. We want to not be kind to some people because we just want an out. We just want an out to let some people have it. You know, we want to, you know, sometimes like a few years ago, I was driving down the road and I may have pulled out in front of somebody and didn't mean to, but he waved at me. He just forgot to put the other four up. Now, let me ask you a question. In the heat of that moment, could I be kind? Yes or no? Yes. Because the issue is, what will I choose to do? You see, the issue is, what will you choose to do? Jesus didn't say life is always easy. There are some people who give you the dickens, some people that make your life hard, and yet the issue of being kind, you say, you just can't. Oh, yes, you can. Because here's the reality. You have to draw from the very presence and the power of the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of you. And so, you know, Jesus makes it very clear. And so, you know, the call of God to you and me is that, you know, we're to know ourselves. We're not to attempt to assert the position that God has. And we're to deal with our personal beams in our own eye. You know, Jesus makes it very clear. Get the beam out of your own eye. You know, when you get the beam out of your own eye, the little splinter in somebody else's eye is not that bad. Well, look at number six and last. And listen to what our Lord has to say. Very sobering. Listen to verse 6, because I want to read this one. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Now, in verse 6, I want you to listen very carefully. This is not a casual book. This book is a holy book. This is not the words of somebody only. These are the words of sovereign, holy, almighty, omnipotent God. And Jesus is speaking to his disciples about the gospel. Jesus, who is God incarnate, says this: don't give holy things to depraved men. But here's the thing about it. Simply put, Jesus was saying to his disciples not to entrust the holy gospel of God to depraved people until they're changed and redeemed. Let me give you an example. If I went on the Tonight Show and tried to share with them a Bible study tonight, do you think they'd want to hear it? They would have no desire for the holy things of God. They would have no desire. They want to hear something that's fleshy, something that's sensual, something that's of this world and wicked. When there is a person of intentionality that don't want to hear the word of God, Jesus said, don't give it to them. You remember what Jesus said? When you tell the gospel, if they won't hear the gospel, walk out of the city, and here's what you're to do. It was a custom in that time. He said, shake off the dust of your feet, and holy God from heaven would see that, and God would deal with those people in a ruthless way. We need to be mindful. It's a serious thing not to hear the word of God. It's a serious thing to think, you know, well, I'm not going to listen to that. I'm reminded of one story. I heard of this story told by Dr. J. Harold Smith some years ago. I want you to listen to it because it's almost fearful as you listen to it. A man came into a church service one night. As he came into this church service, he sat in the back, and the preacher said, I just felt impressed to come back here and talk to you about Jesus. He said, preacher, I don't want anything about your Jesus. I just come in here to get me a girl, and I'm out of here. Within 24 hours, that man had gone up around a curve, got him a girl, left the building, and he had gotten killed. Another situation, man was in a church building, and here's what he said. He said, I don't want to go to no church and hear no preacher bray like no donkey. And that man was dead in 24 hours. Listen to me real carefully. This is not something you ever judge. This is something that will judge you and me. It is the holy word of God. And that's why Jesus said, animals, little old swine, pigs. Can you imagine, ladies, taking some of your diamonds, some of your necklaces, and saying, honey, I want you to take me over to Uncle Joe's, and I want to get in the pig pen, and I want to show this pig my new diamond necklace. He might take you up to Lexington or Danville or someplace like that. Why? Because a swine has absolutely no concern for a diamond. It could care less. And there are some men that absolutely will never have any concern for the gospel of Jesus Christ. They'll never want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. And therefore, they have sentenced themselves to an eternity separated from God because of their depravity, unless they repent of their sins and they turn from Him. Because it's amazing that a lot of people just don't think God means business. But you and I know that He does. And Jesus said to the disciples, don't give holy things to pigs. Sometimes in talking to someone, I've actually been stopped from telling someone. And it's hard to explain. It's like, don't do it. They won't listen to you. I never will forget trying to reach a young man to Christ. He was probably only 13, 14 years old. Cold-heartedest 13-year-old I've ever met in my life. He didn't want Jesus a bit more than anything. And I left that room, and I thought, I have never been in a room that was so cold. Jesus Himself says, this is the holy word of God. Don't give holy things to depraved people. You give them to them, though, after they've been redeemed. And that can only happen by the blowing and the wooing and the working of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way that takes place. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for Your Holy Spirit who moves and woos and works in our life. And Father, I pray tonight that we would be mindful that how we respond and how we talk to others is very serious. For in the fabric of every human being is the divine touch of a holy God. For we're all created by you. And all of your creation in your eyes has value and is important. Father, I pray, if there is a person here that's apart from Christ, that they would realize that you love them. You have a great plan for their life if they'll just allow you into that life. Now, Father, dismiss us with your tender love and mercy. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.